Welcome to Coffee with the Sarlows. We are your hosts of the show, Karen and Kelly Sarlo. Whether you're struggling with grief or you just need answers, we connect you with spirit to find relief, clarity, and direction in life. We can help you move forward.
Hi, Kelly.
Good morning.
Good morning. I have a client today named Ivy. Now, her name is made up, of course, and I just went with England. And that's how I got today's name. Now, I'm not going to name the second person because it's easy to identify her. She is Grandma. So I'm just going to call her Grandma. Grandma is the one that's passed over. And Ivy says to me, I just like to hear anything in general. So Grandma comes in and she just gives what we do or what I do at the beginning of all sessions where you just get validations that it's your person. And she goes through and she gives some of those. And they're general. They're like, if Ivy had a husband, children, stuff like that. And Ivy says yes, and she confirms those things. And then Grandma says she's interested in my passing. And I said, okay. I said, let me validate that with her. So I ask Ivy, is that correct? You want to know about your grandmother's passing? And she goes, yeah. So I said, Grandma, what happened when you passed? And she said, I died quickly. And she said, her mother is upset about it. And she says, but you're going to say that in a minute. So kind of put that down on the page. So I do, that Ivy's mom is upset about Grandma's passing and that she can't get past it. She's stuck in it. Okay. So I write that down. And then she says, I was sick before I passed, Karen. And I went, okay. So I wrote sick on the page. Yes. Like a Y for yes. And I said, she says that she was sick. Is that correct? And she goes, yeah. And then Grandma says, but that's not how I died, but I was sick before I passed. She says, I had been sick for a while and everyone thought that I was going to die from that. And I said, okay, so then what happened? And she says, I fell down the stairs. I had an accident. Mm. And I went, oh, okay. So I say to Ivy, wait a minute, she has an accident. And Ivy says, that's correct. What kind of an accident? And I said, okay. I said, I know it's stairs that she fell on downstairs. And she goes, mm-hmm. And what else? And I said, okay, let me ask her. So I go back to Grandma and I say, do you have other information? And she goes, absolutely. And she hands me her brain. And I go, oh, okay. So I start looking at the brain and I said, what do you want to show me about the brain? And she goes, I had a stroke. Oh, I said, so you had a stroke and that's why you fell down the stairs. And she goes, that's right. And I said, wait a minute. Was there an autopsy? And she goes, no, because of my age, because I was sick, because I fell. It was just, They thought da-da-da, right? Like one thing led to another. And she goes, but in actuality, I had a stroke. And I said, was the stroke related to the illness? And she says to me, no. It was separate. So I say to Ivy, hey, I said, she's saying that there's a stroke and that there wasn't a history of strokes. And she goes, that's correct. I said, well, she's saying that she fell down the stairs due to this and that it didn't have to do with the illness. And she goes, okay, that's what I really wanted to know. She says, without being funny in the way that I was trying to ask you questions, she says, I understand it could come out like, not that I'm trying to test you, but that I'm actually trying to figure out some information. Could you go on? So I said to Grandma, what do you want to talk about then? She's just saying, go on. And she goes, yeah. She says, I want to talk about her mom. And I said, okay. And she says, her mom was raised by me. So this is maternal Grandma. She says, was raised by me to be very people-pleasing and to very much get into life where you have to see people's needs without them actually saying what their needs are. And that she will be loved, she will be safe, she will be okay if she can meet people's needs without anybody having to say anything. So she thinks she's very intuitive, but in actuality, she's just always on her guard and she's just always observant.
Hypervigilant.
Oh, there you go. She's very hypervigilant around everybody's needs. And she's,
which I'm going to just also add is insane amounts of anxiety.
Yes.
However, if you are successfully meeting those people's needs and you're getting good, affectionate feedback, you might never identify as anxious. Did I just ruin the show?
Just part.
Uh-huh.
But it's good because...
Go ahead, keep telling it.
Because it's your job. Mm-hmm. Like, you're the one that sits there and sees all this and puts it together for people. And then I just get to say that grandma says these things, and then hopefully the listeners go, oh, okay. And mm-hmm. that they catch on to, okay, Kelly's going to say this and Karen's going to say that. So I tell her this. I say to Ivy, hey, your mom is this much of a people pleaser and this is what it does, but she's so good at it that people love her for it. And so she's never going to give it up because identity is so tied into it. And the way people love her and express it is tied into it. Mm-hmm. And I said, so to kind of take that out is going to really disrupt the whole dynamics of an entire family system. Mm-hmm. And Ivy says, well, there it is right there. And I said, what's right there? She goes, the second part of my session where I wanted to know about my soul contract with my mother. And I said, oh, okay, did you want to like let that go and go right into the soul contract? And she goes, yeah. She says, I think I know what's coming. And she says, but I'd really like to hear it from the spirit guides. Could my grandma stay? And I said, absolutely. So then the spirit guides come in and say, this is a family dynamic and you're in it too. You've been doing what your mom does. And Ivy says to me, absolutely. Absolutely, I am. And she says, but I'm trying, like through listening to your podcast, I'm trying to understand the people pleaser. And I bought the Beverly Angell book, The Nice Girl Syndrome, and I'm reading it and I want to work through it. And I've just got a therapist that's going to help me get through the book. And she says, but what I'm learning right at the very beginning of the book is that if I do this change, if I do this work, I may lose my mother and I may lose my dad and my entire family because I'm going to challenge my mom. Mm-hmm. And in the doing so, she won't be meeting my dad's needs. She won't be.
It all sucks. Change is hard, right? Because if you're not sort of whatever bubble you're in, if you're not all willing to change, one of you changing just causes chaos for everyone else.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I think too, when you start to challenge your own people pleasing and you're wanting to grow, the people that you genuinely maybe do love the most and feel in some way closest to become less tolerable. And I say that kindly. I'm not saying that out of malice mm-hmm. or meanness or anything like that. It's just that when you understand where the giving comes from, mm-hmm. when it comes from the anxiety or the need to please, the need to be showered with affection or praise or just approval of any kind, you see people differently. Mm-hmm. And there's certainly a level of empathy of like, ah, that's hard. Like, I want more for them. I want more authenticity for them. And when they double down on the people-pleasing behavior while you're growing out of it, you grow apart
mm-hmm.
because you're like, I don't want that life. I don't want that energy. I don't want that. I don't want those actions because everything becomes less authentic.
Mm-hmm.
Well, does mom really want to help me? Does mom mm-hmm. really love doing these things for me? I'd rather her just not do them because I don't know if it's real kindness or not. Like it just, it can be devastating
mm-hmm.
to change and get healthy.
Mm-hmm. It's really good that you explained that. The guides did not go into all of that during the session, but I think people listening will really appreciate hearing that. Mm-hmm. The conversation the guides had with her was to encourage her to be authentic. It was to encourage her and support her in doing the work to figure out who she is so that She lives her life authentically with real connection, and that she's able to be present to the grief when she loses those connections with other people, because the guide said flat out to her that there was no way that her mother was going to be part of the change, mm-hmm. and that neither was her father, that her father benefited greatly in the relationship from mom's fears of being authentic, and that he considered all of her people-pleasing as true actions of love and devotion, and that he would never be willing to see it as, I have to keep the peace, or I people-please you because I'm afraid to be honest about who I am mm-hmm. and about my own needs, and really say that I have any at all, actually. So if I just don't have any needs, then it's so easy for him to love her because she just doesn't have any. So it's all about him. Mm-hmm. So the guides had, I'll say, an honest conversation with her about it. And I think a helpful one for her to be able to make her decision. She doesn't say to me in the session, oh, I'm going to go back and read that book and continue therapy. She doesn't tell me what she's going to do. She just gets into the session and asks the guides what they think mom's response and dad's response and so on will be, so that maybe that there's some way that she prepares herself, or that she makes her own decision, I can handle that, or I don't think I can handle it.
Yeah, because when you hear about soul contracts, if you get to hear like, it's contracted for you to break these patterns and it's mm-hmm. going to require a rift in the relationship and you're going to lose mom.
Yeah.
But that's what's in the contract. Then there's a part of you who can go either way, right? To yeah. be like, well, I don't want to do that in this life. And you break your own contract.
Yeah.
And it's not the end of the world.
That's
when
right.
When we break contracts, we get the chance to renew and rewrite other ones mm-hmm. when we pass in this life. It's painful mm-hmm. when we're not living out contracts, but it's also mm-hmm. fucking painful to live out our contracts.
Exactly.
So again, we always say you choose your hard, you choose your pain, right? Mm-hmm. And I think too, in the other direction, if it is, hey, it is actually in your contract to break this this pattern with your mom, and she's not going to come around to it, she might sit there and go, okay, if this is what I came to do, and this strength is obviously within me, mm-hmm. or I wouldn't have written it into my contract, mm-hmm. let's fucking go.
Mm-hmm. I think that's really interesting too, Kelly, because if we're sitting here thinking about it, it's a bigger decision the decision affects more than that.
Yeah.
Because then if she decides to stay and she decides I'm going to not deal with any of this and I'm going to put the book away and I'm not going to go to therapy for it and I'm just going to maintain what I've got going here because I need that for whatever reasons, then those patterns that stay within her and unaddressed get to also affect her job, affect her relationships with her friends, mm-hmm. with her siblings,
kids,
with her own, the way she will raise her own children if she chooses to have them, if she chooses to have a partner, how she behaves with a partner. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a really important thing to bring up for everybody. It didn't come up in the session, but I still think it's important to bring up, because sometimes we think we can compartmentalize and we think, oh, I'll just be fine. And that's what it'll be between my mom and my dad and or whatever, that family, mm-hmm. my family of origin. But I'll handle myself authentically everywhere else in life. I can do that. And we think we can have that much level of control, even over our subconscious, and think how we're going to just not do the people pleasing without the therapy or the book mm-hmm. or the new tools that come in the book or with therapy and all of these tools and the practice and the accountability that the therapist holds, right? Mm-hmm. Like, we can't really manage both. And I think it's good just to throw that conversation into this. Didn't happen in the session though, but I think it's valuable for people listening. So at the end of the session, she says, I'd like to go back to grandma, just at the very end. And grandma says to her, I'm really proud of you that you're here. like that you're asking, that you're seeing things, that you've started to read the book, that you are in a step. I'm proud of you. I came at the beginning to say what I thought was best for you in your life, given that I know your life, your soul contract and your path. So I came to support you in that. If you choose not to, I'm still here to love you. And Ivy looks at me and she goes, okay, that helps me make my decision. And I said, okay. But again, she doesn't explain it. She just takes the information. Mm-hmm. And that's where it's not important to me as the person channeling. It's important what they get out of it and what they choose to do with it. Mm-hmm. Oh, and at the very end, she says to me, Grandma came. She says, I knew Grandma was going to come. I knew she was going to show up and that she was going to tell me what I needed to hear. And she says, Karen, I came with that intention that it could be hard to hear, mm-hmm. and that I might not want to hear it, and that I might have a reaction or a response to it. And she says, so I'm glad that I recorded it so that I can just sit with it. She says, I think this is just going to take me some time to move through.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we promise clarity and direction. We don't necessarily promise that you're going to enjoy it. Right? Because, I mean, truthfully, if we're just literally, our job is to just read the contract, right? And be like, okay, well, here's what the guides are saying. Here's what you've written into your contract.
Yeah.
It's okay if you don't like it.
Yeah.
It's okay if you're upset.
Yep.
You're allowed to feel whatever it is that you're feeling about the messages that you get. The clarity is the intent, though, right? It's the whole purpose of the session is to be clear on what you're here to do, on what you're meant to learn and understand. The direction is what you get to choose, right, for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So you can hear what direction the guides are encouraging you to take.
Yeah.
You can hear what direction you can choose instead and still not like either one of the options. And again, have your feelings about them. But at least you do walk away with that clarity and direction.
Mm-hmm.
The relief, maybe it doesn't come right away, right? Maybe if we don't like our messages about those contracts or about what the guides are saying or the loved ones are offering, that maybe the relief doesn't come immediately. When you start living into the contracts, relief comes in some way, shape, or form. I can promise that.
Mm-hmm. That's good. I like that. I like that, Kelly, because it's important for people to understand relief doesn't always come right away. And if you're somebody that seeks it immediately, that can be hard to hear. Mm-hmm. But if you understand it might come down the road and you're willing to do the waiting because that is healthy and the goal is let's get healthier, then it's easier to wait for that relief.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for listening to Coffee with the Sarlows. If you enjoyed the show today, please be sure to subscribe on your podcast platform and leave a review. New shows will air every other Saturday.